Thankful once again to be able to stand before you, and I would encourage all of us to have an open mind and an open Bible to follow along closely with the things that we intend to look at. Keep going. Okay. That we intend to look at this evening. I appreciate the prayer and the fact that how important it is to really look into God's Word, to study the Word of God. And the song we've just sung, "Where He Leads, I'll Follow," our minds need to be set upon Christ so that we truly might follow Him. I want us to turn to the book of James, chapter 1. I want to begin reading at verse 5. James, chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. It is written, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." God would have us to have our mind focused upon Him in all aspects of our life. And truly, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In this lesson, the title of which is "Where a Mind Leads," it's actually based upon a billboard that I had seen when we lived in South Carolina. Close to the house that we lived in, there was a highway, and this billboard was there, and often it would be changed to a different ad on there. And this one ad I happened to notice, it just really struck me. And what it said completely was this: "Where a mind leads, opportunities will follow." Now, the thrust of the ad was for the health field, to encourage individuals who desire to get involved in health, nurses, doctors, whatever it may be. But I was really struck by what it said: "Where a mind leads, opportunities will follow." And that's obviously true in the secular realm. There are those who endeavor to get educated in the things of this world that they might have a good paying job, be able to take care of their families. And their mind is focused upon that. And following that, opportunities then open for them to engage in the things that they have studied at school. Well, in the spiritual realm, it's so much more important. And in a spiritual sense, this message can have two very different consequences, both of which are taught in the Word of God. Now, I would have us then to consider just some of these scriptures. I want you to turn first to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. We're going to begin reading at verse 16. Galatians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. It is written, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I have told you before, as which I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." And in the same book, in chapter 6, beginning at verse 7, it is written, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are the household of faith." Now, turn back to the book of James, and again into chapter 1. We want to drop down, beginning to read at verse 12. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. It is written, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." The last verse that is written, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit, to help the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." And again here in James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, it is written, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Well, here then are these two extremes within these verses that we have just read. One, whose mind is set on spiritual, heavenly things, and using the opportunities presented to glorify God and to help others. The other, whose heart is filled with the things of this world, and can only see opportunities of fulfilling the desires of the flesh. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the brethren at Ephesus, also wrote of these two mindsets, reminding these brethren where they were, and now where they are, and if you will, in Christ. So, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. We want to begin reading at verse 1. And note the different mindsets, if you will, of what these brethren had before Christ and what they had in Him. So in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, it is written, "And you have the quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, made close by the blood of Christ, by their obedience to the gospel." Two mindsets, one with the things of this world, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, the things that they had learned. But they then learned the gospel of Christ, and their mindset changed. And where a mind leads, opportunities will surely follow. Now, in this lesson this evening, I want us to consider two individuals whose mindset led them to opportunities whose outcomes were both good and bad. And the two individuals that I speak of are two of the apostles of Christ, Peter and Paul. And I want to begin with Peter. And I want to begin with that which the Lord had declared to him on the very night of his betrayal. So turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, And drop down, we're going to begin reading at verse 31. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 31. It is written, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." The words of Peter indicated a mind that was set on following his Lord, even if it meant his death. His actions later would prove that his mind was not so fully set as he believed it to be. And thus, not long after these passages, we read that which is found beginning at verse 54. It is written, "Then they took him," that is Jesus, "and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him." He denied Jesus, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him, and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Have you ever found yourself in a similar situation? That is, being separated from the Lord by your presence among those who didn't believe? Has your faith, in a sense, failed as Peter's did? I know in my own life that I've been in situations where, in essence, I denied Jesus. Perhaps not openly with the mouth saying, "I don't know him," but opportunities presented of standing up for the truth. And I failed to take a stand or to say something that I should have said. One incident in particular that I remember to this day. And that is, a friend of mine, his mother was dying. And he asked me to go and see her. I was a brand new Christian. Perhaps some of you have heard this. And I had the opportunity to go down. In my mind, I wanted to talk to her about Christ. And here was an opportunity to do so. And I got to the hospital where she was. And she was laying there. She couldn't move. And, you know, she's looking at me and smiling and stuff. And we're talking, just really kind of chit-chatting. And I became afraid. I didn't say anything about Jesus to her. And I left there and I felt really guilty when I got home that I had not said one thing to her about Christ. About a week later, my friend called me again to say that his mother was probably not going to make it, and that if I wanted to see her, I needed to go down. And I determined right then in my mind that I was going to use this opportunity to talk to her about Jesus. And I went down there. Well, she had suffered a stroke. She couldn't open her eyes. She couldn't speak. The only thing that she could do was to squeeze your hand to let you know, either yes or no. And I asked her, "Have you ever known Jesus?" She squeezed my hand once for yes. And if I had known better then what I know now, I would have asked her, "Have you obeyed the gospel?" And I didn't ask her that then. What I asked was, "Have you accepted Jesus? Do you truly believe in him?" She squeezed my hand once again, yes, and tears started coming out of her eyes. And I wished, if I had to do it all over, that I would have asked her then, "Have you been baptized into Christ?" Well, I didn't ask her that. I left there after that, and I actually, at that point in time in my life, felt good that at least I wasn't so afraid that I didn't talk to her about Jesus. About 2 days later, she did pass away. But there have been times in my life, like Peter, who denied his Lord. He's in the presence of those, they're not believers. And sometimes it's easy to be in the presence of those that don't believe and fail to take the opportunity of standing up for Christ. Well, to Peter's credit, he was, quote unquote, converted, as the Lord had prayed. His faith did not wholly fail. And with a mind truly set on repentance, opportunities abounded for him to proclaim his Lord. Where a mind leads, opportunities will follow. For example, turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We want to begin reading at verse 22. It is written, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." He is boldly, along with the other apostles, proclaiming Jesus and convicting them of what they had done. "You have taken him and crucified him." What a contrast between this and what we read there in the garden and then following Jesus' arrest. He is boldly standing up for Christ. His mind is firmly set on his Lord. And here's the opportunity of proclaiming the gospel. And it continues on at verse 32. "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He didn't back down from proclaiming the fullness of the gospel. This is what you need to do. And those who heeded it, in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Where a mind leads, opportunities will follow. And here was the opportunity for him to proclaim the gospel. And with his mind firmly set on his Lord, his Savior, that's what he did. He took the opportunity presented to him to preach the gospel to those that were lost in sin. Now, this is not to say that this man was perfect. Far from it, in a sense, because he was a man. And he made mistakes in his life. And there were times in his life when his mind was not fully set on the Lord. And opportunities presented unto him, and he failed to stand up for the truth. One such example is found there in the book of Galatians, recorded for us, written for us, that we might learn from this. In Galatians chapter 2, dropping down beginning at verse 11. Galatians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, it is written, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with them, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Well, here Peter had been presented with an opportunity to live what he himself had been teaching others. And in this particular instance, his mind wasn't focused upon the Lord. Instead, he sought the approval of his fellow Jews. He feared them. And in doing so, he was ignoring his other spiritual brethren, the Gentiles. Seemingly, at this point in his life, he completely had out of his mind what he himself had learned and had taught others. That is, in Jesus Christ, there's no longer a Jew and a Gentile, male or female. They're all one in him. And he forgot that. And it was a lesson that the Lord had revealed unto him, in a sense, in a vision. And he determined correctly what the vision meant. And we find that in the book of Acts, in chapter 10. Where he goes into Cornelius' household. And I don't want to read all of that account, but I do want to note these selected verses. In Acts chapter 10, dropping down beginning at verse 34, it is written, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." He reached a proper conclusion. Well, following this, he was confronted by the Jews of Jerusalem. And again, he is standing for the truth. His mind is set on things above. And here's an opportunity to proclaim the truth to his brethren, the Jews, who didn't really understand at that point in time that the Gentiles were now being accepted of God. So, in chapter 11, dropping down beginning at verse 9, he recounts this vision unto these Jews, and it is written, "But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven." He was commanded to go and kill these unclean beasts to eat. He understood that the vision was simply referring to the Gentiles' acceptance into the kingdom. And then back, dropping down into verse 17, it is written, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" He's standing for the truth. Where a mind leads, opportunities are going to follow. And here was an opportunity in chapter 15. The issue of circumcision had arisen amongst the Christians. And some believed that the Gentiles, in order to be saved, needed to be circumcised. That wasn't what the apostles were preaching. But they came together to consider this matter. And in the midst of this, note what is written beginning at verse 7 of Peter. It is written, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." He stood up boldly. He took a stand. How blessed is the one who, when confronted with their errors, as Peter was, truly seeks to repent. As Peter was confronted with the Lord, he repented. And what a blessing it is for an individual whose mind, having wandered, if you will, comes back to the truth. It is written in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And along with that is that which is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, and especially verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at verse 9, it is written, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us and nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Peter is an excellent example of an individual whose mind at times was fully set on his Lord, and other times he faltered. But what a blessing it is for the individual who comes to a knowledge of that truth and then seeks to get his mind right. And in that mindset, the opportunity certainly will abound to proclaim the Lord. That's just an example for us of one man. This man who chose to follow his Lord and Savior. And of course, the other example is the Apostle Paul, the one who confronted Peter. But before that, we want to note something that Jesus also proclaimed to his disciples on the night of his betrayal. So I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. We just want to note the first three verses. John chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. It is written, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me." One such individual who truly believed that he was engaged in the service of God while persecuting Christians was Paul. Of course, before that, he was known as Saul. And I want us to turn again to the book of Acts. And I want us to note the passages that many of us have read before that speak of his life, both from the perspective of others as well as himself. And where I want to begin is where Stephen, a faithful servant of God, is about to be murdered for his bold proclamation of the gospel to his fellow Jews. So, turn to Acts chapter 7. We're going to begin reading at verse 55. Acts chapter 7, beginning at verse 55. It is written, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and of Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." And then in chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, we continue to read about this man. It is written, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Those familiar with these scriptures know that it was on the road to Damascus that Saul encountered Jesus. And there he had a change of mind. But before that, here was a man who believed in God. And yet his mind was set on destroying those whom he believed were not worthy to even live. Thus, where his mind led, the opportunities abounded. And here, to the destruction of the lives of those who truly believed in Jesus. Opportunities abounded to persecute the church. In Acts chapter 26, beginning at verse 9, this is what this man proclaimed of his former life. In Acts chapter 26, beginning at verse 9, it is written, "I verily thought with myself, In his own mind, this is what he believed, that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And where a mind leads, opportunities follow. Which thing also I did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. It says many of the saints. He helped to put Christians to death. And it continued, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Where his mind led, opportunities abounded. And he believed that he was doing God's service, just as Jesus told his disciples on the night of his betrayal. Now we know that after the Lord had appeared unto him, and he believed then in Jesus, Jesus told him what to do. His mind was changed. And with that change came a new way of life. Now I want us to consider the following scriptures, which seek to put in an order of that which Saul did. And I want to begin in chapter 22 at verse 10. Acts chapter 22, beginning at verse 10. This is where Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And it is written, "And I said, what shall I do, Lord?" Now he's convinced that Jesus indeed is Lord. "And he said unto him, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, turn back to chapter 9. We're going to pick up reading at verse 18. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. It is written, "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." Truly, where a mind leads, opportunities will follow. And with his mind set on things above, he proclaimed far and wide the gospel of Christ. That's where his mind was set. The opportunities abounded for this man to proclaim his Lord and his Savior, the one whom before he really didn't believe in at all and sought to destroy that way. Now he's preaching the faith that he had once sought to destroy. And he gave up much to do that. He sacrificed a great deal in order to follow Christ. And the opportunities presented unto him were tremendous and numerous. But the things that he suffered, we can read that which is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The things that he went through for his Lord and Savior. The opportunities presented unto him to proclaim the gospel. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23, it is written, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure." I mean, this man was beaten for the proclamation of the gospel, but it didn't break his mind. His mind was firmly set. In prisons frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. None of these things that he encountered moved him away from the faith of his Lord. His mind was set. And where his mind was set, the opportunities abounded for him to glorify his Lord and his Savior. Turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. We want to begin reading at verse 8. It is written, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Be thus minded. The mind is a powerful weapon, either for good or for bad. These are just two examples of men that we read in the New Testament who faltered at times, though they believed in God, but ultimately, with the mindset on their Lord and Savior, the opportunities abounded for them to stand up and glorify their Lord by their life, their actions, their words. The mind indeed is a powerful weapon. And with the mind, one is either going to follow Jesus and serve Him, or they're going to follow Satan and serve him. There is no middle ground in this world in which we live. You remember James chapter 1? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Jesus affirms that there's but one way to serve Him, and that is to completely serve Him. I want you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It is written, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money, or Satan. You're either going to be serving God or you're not." Jesus proclaimed it in this way in chapter 12 at verse 30. Matthew chapter 12 at verse 30, it is written, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Ask yourself, where is my mind set? Where is my mind set? In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 5, at verse 17, Ephesians chapter 5, at verse 17, it is written, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Our God created our minds. And His intention is that our mind be filled with the knowledge of His Son. The knowledge of God's Word. The knowledge of His will. That we might be wise in this world. That we might live our life in accordance with the Gospel of Christ. Having a mind set on things above. And truly, opportunities are presented in this life each day to us. To either glorify Him, stand up for Him, or to falter. Sometimes as Christians, we do indeed falter. And as I said before, what a blessing it is for an individual who comes to himself, if you will, and sees where he is and seeks to do what's right, to follow his Lord and Savior. I want us now to consider these scriptures that concern our mind and how important it is that we have our mind set on those things above, a mindset on Jesus. And I want to begin with that which is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Dropping down, we're going to begin reading at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3. It is written, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations," some reads casting down false reasonings, "and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God," and note this, "and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is having our minds set on spiritual things. Fully set on spiritual things. Bringing into captivity every thought. I know as a Christian in this world that sometimes my thoughts are not centered on Christ. And I get angry with myself and think, why do I have these kind of thoughts? Why can't I keep my mind really focused on Christ? And sometimes, no matter how hard I try, my mind begins to wander. But as soon as I realize that, I try to refocus my life. Sometimes what helps me is to just simply think about Jesus on the cross. To think about that. And here, this is the exhortation, the command for us to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that can be accomplished in the sense of having our mind filled with this, God's Word. We noted last night in our lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, that God provides a way of escape of the temptations, the trials, adversities that we face in this life. And I believe that's through the knowledge of God's Word, bringing to our mind a scripture. Or to think about Him on the cross, in the garden. Think about the apostles and what they went through. Whatever it may be to help us refocus. Refocus. Along with this is that which is written in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We want to begin reading at verse 13. We'll just go right through the end of this chapter. It is written, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, a manner of living, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain, your empty conversation, manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That first passage that we read. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. I thought it interesting what Vines had to say about this word in Vines' Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words. And part of what he wrote was this. Gird. The Christian is to have his mental powers alert in expectation of Christ's coming. And he's writing this in relation to Luke chapter 12, which we're going to read. Now he continues, the verb is in the middle voice. And I don't fully understand all that. But what I do understand is this last part, indicating the special interest the believer is to take in so doing, to have a focus upon the return of Christ. The Christian is to have his mental powers alert, to gird up the loins of his mind, to be sober, to be alert, sober-minded, free from the influence of intoxicants, if you will. There in Luke chapter 12, I know some of you are already there and you're waiting for me to get there. And I really appreciate hearing pages being turned. In Luke chapter 12, then dropping down beginning at verse 35, it is written, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves likened to men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so doing, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not, to gird up the loins of our mind, to have our minds set on things above, to be ready for when our Lord comes, or to be ready for when our death comes. I like what Max had to say, and I brought this out last night. Some souls, many souls, are just a heartbeat away from hell. Well, there's another way to look at that. A heartbeat away from heaven. Eternity. Where a mind leads, opportunities will follow. You think about the opportunities that are presented to us as Christians. Think about the opportunities presented to you, such as this gospel meeting. See how many of us are gathered here to study God's Word? That's where our mind is set, and that is a wonderful thing. Do you know any of your brothers and sisters in Christ that they're not here because their mind is set, not set on heavenly things? And how sad that is. The opportunities abound for us. What we need to be aware of is these opportunities that are presented, and to see them the way God would have us to see them. Every day that we live in this world is an opportunity to glorify our Father in heaven by our actions, by our speech. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. And most of us know these scriptures, but it's good to be reminded of these things, to have them in our mind again. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, it is written, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. People see us. What do they see in you? Do they see a Christian? one who is really a Christian in their actions, in their job, in their speech. You know, it's sad, when I was in Oregon, I'd heard about a brother in Christ, and I knew this brother in Christ. Heard about him from some who were not Christians. They didn't know that he was a Christian. And the reason they didn't know that was because of the way he talked. They were shocked to learn that he was a Christian because of the way he spoke. Just that one aspect. The opportunities presented unto this Christian, this man, were bountiful. But what did the people see in him? They certainly didn't see a light that was shining. They didn't know that he was a Christian. You think about your co-workers, your friends, your family. Do they know that you're a Christian? I mean that in the sense, without saying, I'm a Christian, what do they see? Well, where a mind leads, opportunities abound. In the book of Hebrews, most of us know these scriptures. Chapter 10, I want to begin at verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 22. It is written, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. A true mind, if you will. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner or habit of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It just so happens that this same Christian there in Oregon, he believed that all he need do was to come to a Sunday morning service, partake of the Lord's Supper, and he fulfilled his duty. That's what he believed. These scriptures, I firmly believe, are teaching something different. They're teaching not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Whenever we assemble ourselves together, don't abandon the assemblies. What beautiful, wonderful, blessed opportunities there are to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. And I still don't understand how a brother or a sister would not want to be with their brethren, their family in the Lord. And there are many like that. And then there are those, their desire, their wanting to be at the assemblies, and they physically cannot be there. What a contrast between this man that I knew in Oregon and this woman. And I would sit by her bedside, tears streaming down her face, because she could not be with her brothers and sisters in Christ. And then I see others willing to drive miles and miles and miles to go to a gospel meeting, that they might be encouraged by their brethren. And then I've known a Christian who lived less than a mile away from the building, and he wouldn't darken the door. What a contrast. Where a mind leads, opportunities will follow. What a blessing it is to be able to assemble, to provoke unto love, to provoke unto good works, to be edified in our life, in our faith. Well, that goes to one of the passages that we had read earlier in Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9, it is written, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. As we have opportunity. I remember something Max had taught me when I was studying down here. Ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. I've always remembered that and tried to remember that. Do we have the ability, for example, to attend a service? Is there an opportunity presented? Well, what's our responsibility? Do we have the ability to talk with somebody about the gospel of Christ? Is an opportunity presented? What's our responsibility? Where is our mind set? It is the Father's will that souls come to a knowledge of the truth. That souls would truly believe in His Son, Jesus, the Christ. That they would have a change of mind, just as the apostles Peter and Paul did in their own lives. That they would truly repent. A repentance leading to a changed life, a changed mind. The souls would be baptized in the death of His Son, raised to walk in newness of life. Believing in the operation of God, having that faith in God who raised Jesus from the dead, and having a mind set on things above. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, and then we're going to drop down to chapter 3. Colossians chapter 2 at verse 12, it is written, "Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, which raised Him from the dead." And then in chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, it is written, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection," literally your mind, "on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory." That's the goal of the Christian. To be with Christ in glory, in heaven, with the Father in eternity, and with the mind set on things above, using the opportunities presented to fulfill the responsibilities that God has given to us as Christians, that's where we will be. So then we ask, where does your allegiance lie? And only you can answer that. Where is your mind set? If you have yet to obey the gospel of Christ, why not take advantage of the opportunity to do so? To do so. And here I have this Lord's Day. In a real sense, every day as Christians, we ought to be living our lives for the Lord. And that's in a sense what is meant by there. The opportunity to do so this Lord's Day. This day. For truly, where a mind leads, opportunities will follow. They will follow. I want to then conclude this lesson with these exhortations. First, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, "And keep in mind who this is written to." This is written to Christians. Oftentimes I use this to encourage those who are not Christians to obey the gospel. But this is written to Christians. "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." And think about the grace of God in this sense, in this principle of His Word, the Word of His grace. Don't receive it in vain. Consider the scriptures that we've looked at this evening. Consider your life in relation to those scriptures. And as I'll be, I pray to make the application to our life. Where a mind leads, truly opportunities will follow. Wonderful opportunities to make a stand for our Lord and Savior. To proclaim unto others the grace of God. And it continued, "For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." That's all we have, is now. We don't have the past. We're not assured of the future. The Christian walks by faith. Walks by faith. Faith cometh by hearing God's Word. A mind set on things above. And finally, along with this, is that which is found in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, where He speaks of those out in the wilderness whose faith failed, whose mind was not set on their Lord. And that's a warning for us, and an exhortation for us to have our mind firmly set. So in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, it is written, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, and the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today. In a sense, the Lord's day. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast into the end. When I read that, to hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast, I think of gird up your minds. That's what I think of. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Harden not your mind. Where a mind leads, opportunities will follow. And if you're not a Christian, here's the opportunity this day, this evening, to become one, to truly walk in newness of life, a mind set on things above. If you need to repent today, this evening, do it now. Have a mind that's truly focused on the Lord. And those of us that do not need to do that, to continue to fight the good fight of faith, to walk in the narrow way that leads unto eternal life, to use the opportunities presented unto us daily to glorify our Lord and Savior. Where a mind leads, opportunities will follow. Here's an opportunity for you.